as I wait. Heart of
Hello,
God.
New life, and welcome to our Growth Group Podcasts, where we believe that learning happens best in circles.
Absolutely.
And not rows. So we love learning in rows, too. And we're going to be learning this week in our Emotionally Healthy Spirituality session number 2. We're going to be learning in rows about 1 Samuel 17. That's our passage. And the title of this sermon is Knowing Ourselves That We Might Know God. Interesting idea.
And I think it's important for us to understand, particularly about these questions and about the whole series as a whole, that in a sense, firstly, each of the lessons that we learn build on one another. So there is a connection. There is a building of understanding. Secondly, this is not a series where you get just, you know, there's 8 sermons, so you answer 8 questions, and once you've got to the end of the, you've answered all the questions. No, this is intended to open us up to a journey which will deal with our icebergs, and that is frankly a lifelong journey.
Right.
It's a journey that will take us until we meet Jesus. But what the whole of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality is intended to do is to open up the journey. And so many of these questions that I think you've done a great job on, David, but they're intended not to be simply, okay, we got the answer, but to open up a conversation which will almost of its very nature be an open-ended conversation.
Right. We're not frying a fish here with these questions. We're learning how to fish.
Yes.
We're learning how to assess our own emotions and where God might be trying to point at certain things in our lives that need some attention, need to be addressed. And it's easy just to keep our heads down and just cruise through life without addressing these things. But Peter here, Scazzaro, in his book, he learned himself how he had ignored so many of those things in his own life and ministry. And it wasn't until he began to ask those hard questions with the help of Scripture and the guidance of the Spirit.
It's like
where
that old story, isn't
happened.
It? It's like that old story about the person standing on the roof in a flood and, you know, a boat comes by.
Yeah.
All of these different things come by. A helicopter comes by and he just every time says, no, God's going to save me, God's going to save me, God's going to save me. And ultimately he gets drowned. And when he meets God, he says, well, I thought you were going to save me. He said, well, I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter. Why didn't you take any of them? I mean, I think that what Pete Scazzaro is saying is that there are so many different ways in which God speaks to us, reveals himself to us. We need to be open to them all.
Yeah, and if anything, it highlights an area where you're not healthy, where all is not well. And it's the process, it's the contemplative process of just thinking through the gospel and the truths of Scripture and how they apply to this area of unhealth where, the walls fall down,
right?
And barriers and strongholds are
I mean,
are
ultimately,
broken.
if I walk around and only use one leg, I'm only hopping, which isn't a very healthy way of living. And I need to learn that I have 2 legs. And I think that in our spiritual lives, for many of us, there are all sorts of different things that we're just not using because we've never learned to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Pete Scazzaro is opening up for us.
Right, yeah, learning how to be self-aware in a positive way.
Yes, in a positive way.
Yeah.
So many of the things that we're learning about, you know, sometimes it feels, is this all about me finding out things that are bad about me or things that are wrong about me? No. It's not about being bad or being, I mean, as we look at, we look back to look forward, as we look at trying to understand about knowing ourselves, we learn good things about ourselves.
Right.
That we learn things also that perhaps have got out of whack a bit and need correction or need direction. But we're not just looking for bad things about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And as, you know,
and it can feel that way because he doesn't necessarily give you a list of how to fix yourself, because the the problems and the situations that you come into from your family of origin, they're going to be so different and scattered that this is mainly about identifying those things.
And it's not all, they're not always problems. I mean, they're not all problems. I mean, the fact that you're, if your family of origin was a deeply loving family, then that probably deeply influences the way you react to other people in a good way.
Yeah.
And recognizing that underlines what and enables us to actually be what God has called us to be in a far more liberated way, I believe.
When we understand
it. Yeah, when we understand it.
Well, let's look at this first question. I'll read it this time.
Yeah.
So question one, who am I? Augustine asked, or Augustine, how do you prefer it pronounced? Augustine?
Augustine.
Let's go with Augustine. Yes. Sounds more austere. He asks, how can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? Now, what does this question mean, what we're asking you to consider? What does this question teach? How can you be, as a person, far from yourself? And how would this attitude inhibit your approach to God?
Yes, I mean, again, this is a question which you know, is there's not sort of, this is the correct answer. Get this and you tick the box. But it's a recognition that our understanding of who we are and that our emotions make up an important part of that, and recognizing that those I am an emotional being. Because the God whose image I'm made in was an emotional God.
He made that point well in his chapter.
Is an emotional God. Therefore, I need to pay attention to those. I need to admit, so many times we will, you know, I'm going to make this as simple as possible. I'm really angry about this. And my reaction to that is, I shouldn't be angry. Anger's bad. I just have to get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we understand ourselves as, okay, so I am an emotional being, I feel those things, therefore it's quite possible that God is trying to show me something in that. Now, that doesn't mean that we allow our anger to be poured out over all sorts of other people, just because emotions are God-given. These emotions need to come under the Lordship of Christ. Because we need to understand what is God communicating to me by making me, by allowing me to feel the way I feel.
Right. There's something going on in your heart, whether you feel like you are longing for admiration or the approval of others. There's this anxiety that you feel has some underlying cause or reason. And when you understand that, then you can assess whether it is a good or a bad thing, and then ask the Lord for help.
You can begin to ask God, how do you want to deal with this? Can you either show me why I feel this way, or will you meet my need? if we're constantly feeling inadequate. Then once we admit that we're constantly feeling inadequate, God can begin to show us how in Him we are enough in Him.
Right, but you need to turn that corner to make that connection. Well, let's turn the corner to our next question. Question two: a feeling workout. It's an interesting title.
Yeah.
The premise of chapter two is that God speaks to us through our emotions. God uses our anger, fear, and sadness to direct our attention to areas in our life which need healing. Is it right or even safe to use our feelings as a gauge for discerning God's will? Rehearse a difficult situation from this last week. In situation X, I felt Y. Why did I react this way? Was this reaction right? Does it line up with God's truth? Here's our second question.
in a sense, I think we've already explained
a lot
about what that about this question.
But perhaps you can touch for a minute on that part where asked, is it right or even safe to use our feelings? I'm not sure if we've talked about that bit yet, have we?
Right. But I think, yes, well, I don't think, not directly, because I think that so often we're taught that feelings are not to be trusted.
Right.
And if our feelings are not to be trusted, then the answer to that question is it's dangerous, because we're using something which can't be trusted. However, if emotions are part of the way God speaks to us, we're not saying here that we should be controlled by our emotions,
right? And it's
but
not,
we should
yeah.
take notice of them.
Yeah, I think a big part of this too is that we're not letting emotions direct us.
Right.
We're trying to figure out why that emotion is there in the first place. It's about like assessing, or it's more about self-awareness and understanding of one's emotions than it is about this emotion X, Y, or Z is telling me to do that. These various things.
Right.
It's
God. God can help us to by he uses our emotions sometimes to help us see things that we might not see otherwise. And if we simply say our emotions are not to be trusted, then that part of God's communication to us, you know, this is an extreme example, but it's almost like saying I'm not prepared to let God speak to me through the Bible. He's got, you know, you cut off. And now, I'm not suggesting that our emotions are as powerful a channel of God speaking to us as the Word of God, as the Scripture is. But if we choose to cut it off, we're saying I will not be communicated to by God in this way.
And I think it probably for most people, it's not really about I don't trust my emotions, I'm going to cut off. Because what does that even look like? What does that even mean? But I think when we teach them that the emotions really can be and should be thought through instead of just, I feel angry, I'm just going to get angry and get through the day and go to sleep and whatever, it'll all be better in the morning. If we pause to think about, okay, there's something that's not right in my heart because of this emotion. I think that's really what we're getting at.
And right.
There's all these other things you kind of have to shove through about, is it right, even right to look at emotions? But I think that's a smaller issue.
There is a reason why we feel the things that we feel. And sometimes it's a good reason, and sometimes it's a bad reason. But there's always a reason.
Yeah.
And reaching for God to show us what that reason is deepens our relationship to Him.
Well, one character in the Bible that had a very deep relationship with the Lord is a guy named David, and That's right, of our next question. David's battles is the name of this next question. David didn't just battle a 9-foot Philistine in 1 Samuel 17. He faced the barrage of belittling voices, tempting him to doubt the promises of God. How did the voices of David's brothers, Saul and Goliath, seek to defeat him before he even began to fight? What are the voices saying which seek to defeat you? Are you wearing armor that doesn't fit? Who told you to put it on?
Yeah, this is really interesting because they weren't, the voices that David received, in a sense, were not there to defeat him, although that was what they could have done. Eliab wanted to put him down. Saul just didn't believe he was capable.
Yeah.
Goliath, again, wanted to put him down. The reason why it could have defeated him was because David could have received a message through them, which, okay, maybe he's right.
Right. Tempting him to doubt.
Tempting him to doubt what God... Because if you look at what David says, David's confidence was in God, not in David. David said, the Lord has enabled me to deal with the bear and the and the whatever.
That's right.
God has enabled me to deal with the bear. God, this guy's insulting God. God will give me victory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we, as we see, God have David had a healthy view of his own weakness. He knew what he couldn't do, but he knew what God could do.
Man, I don't know if that's a healthy view of your weakness. I can defeat a bear, no problem.
No, but he said God did. He said
God enabled me?
Yes, he does. He says, the Lord enabled me to deal with the lion and the bear.
The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. Yeah.
So his confidence is in God.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has a healthy... He understands his own limits. He understands what he can do and what he can't do. And he understands what he can do in the power of God.
Yeah.
And so he's liberated from
And that. He has a healthy sense of motivation. This guy has defied the armies of the living God. And therefore, I know what God's will is. God wishes to judge this person, and I might as well be the instrument he uses to judge it. But we need to hurry on to our fourth question, which is entitled, Your True Self. Peter Scazzaro wrote that the greatest gift we can give the world is our true self, living in loving union with God. However, we often withhold this gift by suppressing our true self and hiding behind a mask. In what situations do you find it difficult to be your true self? To speak honestly, not to wear a mask, not to be afraid of what others think. What might these situations teach you about the composition of your iceberg and where you still need to surrender wholly to God?
Yes, I mean, I think this question is again, it's inviting us to contemplate our own behaviors, where on occasions we think it may be helpful to behave in a certain way. I think in order to give the impression that I am this sort of person, I'm trying to think of an example that, you know, I think that right now, okay, our political, I mean, I'm going to get really dangerous here now.
You typically avoid this subject.
But I'm going to get dangerous here because I'm saying that some people behave in a certain way right now because they want people to believe that they think in a certain way politically. Therefore, and sometimes they're extraordinarily rude, extraordinarily badly behaved, but they use the excuse that I don't want anyone to think that I'm like this. Mm-hmm. And so there's a mask that goes up, which is I can't just simply be how I feel. I've got to make absolutely sure that I paint a picture of this sort of person.
Mm-hmm. And the stronger they react, it's the brighter picture.
Right.
And not a very helpful or wise one.
Right. Because they don't give a picture of how Jesus would want us to behave.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that happy note, should we call it a wrap for this podcast?
I think we should.
All right, thank you for joining us for our Growth Group podcast.
And I hope this really does open up interesting conversations for you.
What's the name of our next...
Going Back to Go Forward.
Going Back to Go Forward. And we're looking at the life of Joseph.
The very end of the life of Joseph.
Oh, that'll be fun. All right, guys, we'll see you then.
As I wait, heart of God.